We're talking with Dr. Bob Young, of course, Chief Economist of American Farm Bureau. Bob, as we get into, we really are well into 2015 now, starting to see this spring set of crops go in. And any reason to be too nervous yet about the slow early pace?
No, I don't think so. We're just talking with somebody just a little bit ago that, you know, you really can't point to an area of the country right now and say, oh, man, those guys are really wet, it's really cold, they're 4 weeks behind or whatever. Nor can you point to a part of the country and say, oh, man, look at that big area that hadn't had any rain in forever. That, you know, where everybody's kind of, there's patches here and there. And, yeah, you could talk about this state a little bit or that part of this state doing something else. But, you know, there just doesn't seem to be that big area at this stage of the game anyway that you'd be all that concerned about. So I think it's early days yet. Maybe a little later than it's been sometimes past, but on the other hand, it's April, whatever, and we still got all of May to go, and right. And we can plant crop, as you know, in a real hurry these days. So I'm not that worried yet at this stage of the game. Ask me that question again in 3 weeks, might have a different answer for you.
The expectations of which crops are going to get how many acres, we'll see. The proof is in the pudding, and the actual planting. How has that driven the markets? Or the markets really driven some of these decisions more so this year?
I think so. I think it's clearly you shouldn't be making your planning decisions on farm programs at this stage of the game, because that's not where the support's going to come from. Need to be looking at what futures are telling you, making sure you're booking some product early. And not just from the price of the product, but from your overall profitability expectations. Make sure some of these crops cost an awful lot of money to produce, as you know, and others don't cost anywhere near that much. And so keep all that in mind as you're making these decisions and kind of rolling forward. And I also strongly suspect that even as late as it is, we may well still have some producers out there that haven't quite made that final decision yet.
Right. Of course, the weather could push them to another crop.
Absolutely could push them to another crop. You know, we could end up with, I think we all thought we were going to get more beans anyway. That could certainly be something that would push us more in that direction.
Right. The talk here in Washington very much in the minds of a lot of folks, the trade issues and trade promotion authority. When you start trying to put dollars and cents on trade, just how important is that to the average farmer rancher?
Well, I think particularly for your guys, on the livestock side, on the cattle side in particular, look at the value that we've added back to the carcass, just coming off of trade, and particularly some of those products and those parts of the animal that, we're not all that enthused about here in the United States that we can sell in other parts of the world and, put 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks a head back on the value of that animal. Just that, and that really only comes about through these trade agreements, opening these markets up, let our product land, and kind of move forward from there. So it's not, and I think folks need, and I think folks are adult enough to know that, we're not going to sign one of these agreements and the next day, wham. This is going to be a, 5, 6, 8, 10-year long process before we, really see the full fruits of that. Think of NAFTA. How long it's taken us to really bear the full fruits of that. And it's going to be the same thing. We get TPP through and open up the Japanese market that much more. It'll be 10 years before we get the full benefits for the dairy sector, for example.
Is this truly a case of keeping up with the Joneses, some of our competing nations?
That is absolutely a big concern, a huge concern. I can wax pretty philosophical about some of this. The Europeans are not stopping. They're off trying to write agreements with as many other countries as they can. And when they're writing those agreements, they're basically imposing their will on these other countries. You might not think that's a big deal, but, think about geographical indicators that while we may think of champagne as a car color and, we got whole palettes devoted just to that one word, champagne, as far as they're concerned, only comes from one part of France, and you can't call it anything else, or nobody else can use that same term. They're going to try to impose literally for hundreds, if not thousands, of products you know, we can only make this stuff in Europe. Well, you know, my grandma had us using Parmesan cheese in our house ever since I can remember. But as far as the Europeans are concerned, Parmesan cheese only comes from one place. They're trying to impose that will on the entire planet. And if we can't bust that loose by getting some of our own trade agreements through, as well as trade agreements with them, you know, it's basically just going to be letting Europe establish their will everywhere. And that's not where we want to be.
The regulatory arena, how costly, I'm sure you've done some calculations on this, how costly could a WOTUS rule final go final? How much will that cost your producers, your members?
I don't think we have any idea, because the number of additional acres, you know, the number of additional ponds, ditches, you know, whatever. You've got parts of your country where, you know, you can go a year and never have any water in that creek. Well, we're going to, by God, that because we've got a high water mark, because we've got a defined channel, that's going to become waters of the United States, and we're going to be able to tell you what you can and can't do on that, you know, on that little creek area, creek bed. You know, I just don't know what kind of fence has to go across it, what you can do to it. I don't know that you can put a final total cost on what all that would come to. The delay in being able to do things, the cost of permits, you know, you're going to have to go get a lawyer to do almost anything. You know, it's just going to be a real, real challenge.
Right. Let's talk. You mentioned the cattle producers here a minute ago, and what's your take overall of where we are in this rebuilding process? It seems like we really made some dramatic gains or substantial gains in 2014. The January 1 numbers for mama cows came up quite a bit.
They did, and I think we're going to see similar numbers this year, similar number of increases this year. I do think by the time we're out to third, fourth quarter, competition from those other meats just going to get that much more intense. It's going to get there's no way we're going to be able to hold last year's third quarter, fourth quarter prices this year. I think just a question of how much they get pulled down. A lot of competition for that consumer plate, and you don't want to really end up with beef as. You know, only being a specialty product that you've got to go to a real high-end restaurant and, you know, one of those $100 a dinner nights out to be able to eat that product. But we could be driving ourselves that way.
We were close, obviously. The cow herd that small.
We were. And I think had we gone another year or two, you would have been really hard-pressed to say, how do we ever get back? Now it's going to be, you know, let's fight our way back onto that plate. And it's going to be a different industry 10 years from now than it was 10 years ago.
One last question, as far as I know, this is something that's been talked about within Farm Bureau, and you've got the emphasis with your young farmers and ranchers, but the aging of the agricultural producer, you know, how are we starting to do some pretty good things as far as getting the next generation involved? What work needs to be done?
Well, you know, it hasn't shown up in the aggregate numbers yet, and I really kind of thought that it would have in this last census. But I, you know, as I go out to our meetings, you know, I go around the country, it just seems to me, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, that's probably it more than anything else, but it just seems to me that there are more, you know, younger folks at our meetings than there have been at times past. And, you know, as we end up with this income turned down, I think young farmers have seen the potential, the possibility. It's occurred within their lifetime that we've had high incomes. Income levels come down. I think that's going to put downside pressure on rental rates, going to put some downside pressure on land prices. I think there may be some opportunities and some willingness on some of their parts to say, now's the time to pull the trigger. Let's get into the business and see where we go. So I'm a little bit more optimistic today than I was certainly 10 years ago.